post-election back.
Post-election. It's done. It's over. And I'm sure that won't be proven wrong. Well, it should be over by the time people listen to this.
Yeah, I might mess with the, I might change up the release order a little bit, depending on how fast I edit this one, just for topical reasons.
Yeah, we want to be relevant to the people.
But even still, your point still stands, because it could be completely irrelevant by the time we finish.
It could be, yeah, it could be, really, though. And, like, but also, we could also not fucking know, because it might go to the courts. And, like, who knows what the Supreme Court's going to decide if it gets to that point.
Yeah, it's looking, I don't know. We were both kind of joking that, like, you know, we've both seen our share of collapses in the sports world. So we know.
Yes, we have. We know what it's like. I've seen this before. Let me tell you. I've seen how this works.
Yeah.
All of the election night, I just Clippers Twitter
for
was
you,
like,
yeah.
this is like 3-1 all over again. Like, we just went through this a couple months ago. it hit too close to home, and it scared the shit out of me, right? And still scares me.
Oh, yeah, it's not over by any means.
Yeah.
We are recording this.
I bet the Cowboys let me down too many times.
We should note, we are recording. It is November 4th at 8 p.m. Pacific time right now. And things look generally okay for Biden.
Yeah,
that's as far as I will say.
Like, not badly, which I think is not bad. Is all right. You know,
there was a minute. There was some hours actually where it looked very bad.
Most of last night, I was breaking down emotionally. I was like, our democracy is dead. I can't believe we did this again. And I was also like, we fucking deserve it. Let's burn this place to the ground. I'm done.
I gave up almost immediately.
Almost immediately. Yes. Once Virginia started, like, because they started off getting crushed. And I was like, oh, fuck it. I quit. And Ohio, like, was getting crushed. I was like, okay, I need to turn this off right now.
We were joking, like, which broadcast we were going to watch going into election night, and we made a joke that, like, we needed to know, you know, which broadcast of the burning of the Hindenburg were we gonna watch, and it was almost that.
But somebody had a fire extinguisher on board, and now we are just floating to the ground at an uncomfortable speed, and we don't know if we're
our engines
survive.
Are blown.
Yeah.
We still very well may all crash and die, but
yes, we're just not actively on fire right now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was a night. Was it what you expected?
You know, I
it kind of went as everyone said it would. It just felt so much worse, which it always does.
Yeah. That's what. Like, yeah, I mentally expected it, and like intellectually, I was like, yeah. But there's some part of me that was like, what if Biden just crushes it and wins Texas and wins Florida and Ohio, wins like all of these states, and like we do control the Senate? Part of me was like, that's what should happen, you know?
The Senate thing is that's a real blow that I think a lot of people aren't grappling with yet.
It's tough, and it's a bummer. It's not good. Yeah, I that's something I got later, and what we'll talk about in our episode.
Yeah, so this is a special post election, middle election. This is the right now of election. So we're going to do a six pack of the worst takes so far.
Yes, and it's going to age well because it doesn't matter who wins because these takes suck regardless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of mine suck. How'd you go about constructing this. I just browsed the Twitter of people I knew have historically shitty takes.
What did I do? I just thought of bad takes I've seen.
Yeah, that's, I did that too a little bit. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, I just scrolling through a lot of Twitter, which I've been doing naturally for most of my life. Yeah, there's definitely a couple that like popped in my mind immediately right when we decided on the topic. I was like, okay, those two have to go in there.
Okay.
I try to get a little bit off Twitter, but that was pretty tough because Twitter is the king of bad takes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like a highly concentrated injection straight to the veins of bad takes. Yeah.
And it's something we put us through every single fucking day.
Yeah.
With or without an election.
Do we want to talk about the coverage at all? Election night coverage? I know we talked about it.
I think it'll probably come up in the
thing. Okay, okay. So do you want to just dive into this?
Let's do it.
We're both nursing our post-election night hangovers. I'm actually not really that hungover, and I am drinking again.
Well, aren't you lucky, son of a bitch? No, I'm better by now, for sure. But okay. I chugged a ton of Gatorade last night, and that does help a lot.
Okay, we're going to go 6-1, and then we're going to do the honorable mentions, like always. This is episode... question mark? This is episode read the...
82?
No.
I made up that number. I have zero idea.
We're in the high 80s.
That was kind of close.
Yeah, episode read the episode title, because depending on how quickly I can edit this, and also depending on events that take place and the time it takes for me to edit it and potentially put it up, this could get deleted immediately. episode question mark of the Noah and Eric show, the worst take so far, and again, I'll reiterate, November 4th. 8 p.m. Pacific.
Yes.
Of the election. Okay. Do you want to go first?
Yes, I do. And I think this is going to be my only one from right-wing people. Just because there's so many, you know, and I wanted to get a little bit more creative. Yeah. But have you ever heard of Chuck Worley?
No.
I haven't either, but he's some old white guy, which I'm sure you could have guessed. He tweeted, "So if I'm a resident of Pennsylvania and I don't like the way the election is going, I can mail my vote in today, as in, like, on November 4th, and it will be counted as long as it gets there by Friday. Is this any way to run an election with integrity?" No, Chuck, it's not, but that's not how it fucking works, Chuck.
Right, that's
fucking
not...
idiot. It's not November, it's November 4th. If you mailed it November 3rd, it'd be fine, because that's election day. Because that's how elections work.
Yeah, I know some states, like, if it's postmarked, like, they're accepting them, but they have to be postmarked before the 3rd, or on the 3rd at the latest, and then they have to be received by Friday. But even then, it's still, like, it's just highly incorrect. It's false. Because
it's false.
You should vote. What? You should just vote if you have a preference of between the two candidates.
Yeah.
You don't get like extra votes. There's not like super votes for post-election day received ballots. It's just the same.
Chuck is a fucking dumbass, and that's just not how elections work. And maybe that is how should elections work. Guess what? If you're a day late, I'm late on most things in life. Why should election be different?
Yeah. So people are talking about like. It comes up every year that like, it should be a federal holiday, and it should. It also should probably be on a weekend, but I think that's harder to change because it's like in the Constitution that it has to be on a Tuesday, which is stupid.
Do you know why it has to be on a Tuesday?
Isn't it so like the fucking farmers would have time to make it to the town?
Yeah, for church and then back.
Wouldn't it make sense to have like an election week where you had like the polls are open for a week?
Oh, absolutely.
For like more than 1 day.
Yeah. And it's one of those days should be a holiday just in case you're working all like
It's like the Sunday through Tuesday is like the voting window.
Yeah, yeah. And it should be a longer voting window, automatic registration. Yeah. Part of me even thinks like everybody should have a vote.
Yeah.
Not just like citizens. Because guess like I don't know if I fully believe this, but guess what?
Go for it.
Fucks up the whole world. Yeah, people in Germany should be able, like, they should be nervous about this election.
That's true.
I would be.
Like, the whole world's watching with bated breath, and we're, like, blowing it. It's awesome.
Yeah, we're the dude at the party who's, like, really drunk with a gun, waving it around, and everyone's terrified.
I love it. That's a good one. Mine is like tangentially election related. I need to pull up the tweet. There it is. Okay, this is election related, but this is kind of you'll see. It's that the NBA ratings are down because of political correctness.
This isn't a
take that came out of the election, but out of the election we do have some interesting things. This was the network ratings for election night coverage was the lowest since 2004. It was 20 million viewers down from from 2016.
Wow, holy shit.
Right. There's just too much political correctness in this political coverage.
Trump is too politically correct.
Get the politics out of politics.
Yeah. Oh man, that's shocking. I figured it'd be super high. I couldn't.
It's because our generation refuses to watch TV.
That's a good point. We do refuse to watch. We were all following it through Twitter. Unfortunately, I was doing both, not to benefit.
Same. Yeah, that was a. That was a tough call. I almost, yeah. We'll talk about the networks later. It's the last 2016. The peak or the estimated viewership was 71 million, and last night it was 57.
Jeez. Kind of makes sense because it's like once you send your vote, like for all those like people that are healthy. And be like, okay, it's out of my hands. Let me just go fucking enjoy my night. Good for those people.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Wish I was one of them.
Yeah, I did too. Life would be easier.
Okay. What is your fifth?
Okay, my fifth. Okay, so overwhelmingly, the John King support was large, but I saw a few people zag on John King. John King, the like for the people who are like, who's John King? The CNN dude working the election board was fucking magnificent.
No, oh, man.
And some people zagged on him, and that's unacceptable. That dude single-handedly calmed me down and talked me off the ledge.
He was reassuring
and he was warm, but he was firm, and he was like calming, but he also wasn't like obviously biased, you know? He just knew his shit.
He was very, yeah, he was calm, he was honest, and he told it how it was.
He told it, it was no bullshit, John
cannot,
King.
Cannot say that about other networks.
No, you cannot. Yeah, MSNBC, we can talk about it now. MSNBC, we were watching that for the first half probably, and it was stressing me the fuck out.
They were just making me so mad.
Yes.
It was like basically every expert on MSNBC was like, well, if you look at these numbers, Biden's losing this one by, you know, 1%, and that's a real accomplishment. And it was like, thanks.
Thanks, MSNBC.
Yeah.
Jesus. It was, but then we switched it to CNN and to John King.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a holy light shining on us, providing us warmth in like a freezing night.
Mm-hmm. He was like, look at the map. You're not looking at it with any context. Here's the context.
like, yeah, he provided context. And like he was like, now this is how the votes might go. That's not for sure. We don't know for sure. And he kept like speaking like that, and it was
my favorite thing that was like actually helpful was he was comparing the vote totals between 2016 and 2020 for by county. So he's like, look, it looks like Trump's winning this, but here's the context. Like, Biden's not even 200,000 votes up to what Hillary got, and this is a higher turnout election. And it's like, oh, thank you. Thank you for soothing my soul in this time of crisis.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I feel like I'm getting petted right now. Like, it was wonderful. He's an American hero.
He's still going. Did he stop? I mean, presumably he stopped at some point, but he was up this morning, and he's going again now, I believe.
He is. I was watching him before we got on. The dude doesn't stop.
I saw it.
And also the John King memes were just incredible.
Yeah. What's some of the best ones you've seen?
I love one of them was like Anderson Cooper carrying off John King, and it was Pippen holding up MJ walking off the court. That was one of my favorites.
I saw one. It was like a picture of Kobe after a game, and his like shoulder was like wrapped like really largely with ice, and it was like John King after tonight.
Yeah. Another one I loved was you know like the video meme of like the inmate getting splashed with water and being like awoken and like really frantic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like it was like John King after getting woken up from his 5-minute nap.
Yeah, it's good. That's real good. Okay, that was your fifth. My fifth is the we knew this was gonna happen, but it's still just like gross. The like Republican turn of face that some Republicans are doing. Mitch McConnell has already said like we have to count all the votes. And like, you know, others will join suit. It's like at the second Trump became a loser, it's like, oh, you know, this is dangerous. What he's saying?
And it's time to hop off the bandwagon.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It's fuck yourself. It's fucking despicable, and it's gonna work. And I'm already livid about it.
Yeah.
They're fucking monsters.
They're gonna get let off the hook for it. It's like their out is like supporting the president who won the election is going to be their out. And they're going to get like praise.
Support a peaceful transition of power.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking pathetic. They're just the slimiest people. And we've known this since Trump got nominated and they started getting in line. Was the second he was out of power that they would hop off jump ship and they would betray him.
My question is what happens if Trump runs in if he doesn't win this election, which is still very possible he does.
Very.
We need to state that. What happens in 2024? Probably just the same thing that happened in 2016.
Yeah.
Trump will run.
Trump will run, or one of his kids will run, I think.
That's the only age is the only thing that would, I mean, it wouldn't stop him in his head, but it might stop, like, those around him, you know? They might convince him to let Junior run or something.
Yeah, but one of those, like, core members is going to run for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking earlier today, like, in terms of, like, the Republicans' point of view, Trump has got to be one of their best presidents since Reagan. Like, he's slashed voter rights. He has, like, created more wealth income inequality. He packed the court. Like, he has done everything the Republicans wanted him to do. And then they're just going to betray him once he's out of power.
Yeah.
And it's kind of poetic justice in a certain way, but it's also sickening.
Right. Yeah, he's just like Reagan who didn't talk nice.
Yeah, that really is what he is.
All right, four. We're on our fourth takes.
I've heard a lot of people say, we won, be happy. First, we haven't won, you fucking dumbass.
Yeah.
It is very much in the up in the air. And second, no, I will not be happy. I will not be happy. It should never have been this close. What the fuck?
Yeah.
We didn't even win the Senate. We didn't win this election. We just didn't lose if Biden wins.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the Senate thing is like a very real thing. Like, he's not going to get anything done, Biden, and that's going to be held against him in 2024 when they run some other ghoul who's possibly even worse than Trump, because
yeah.
Trump's a ghoul who's like incompetent, and like I think that's like the fear is like one of, because he's now the dominant part of the Republican Party, right? Like his base is the Republican Party.
Yeah.
So like if you get one of those guys who's actually competent. And they're evil, like that's the danger, that's the real danger zone.
It's terrifying. Yeah. And we won't be able, like, without the Senate, we won't be able to do anything to stop it. We won't be able to expand Senate. We won't be able to get rid of the Electoral College. We won't be able to expand the court, get rid of the filibuster, protect voter rights as much as we would be able to.
That's all gone. Yeah.
And yeah, so we just prolonged the loss for, like, because if we don't do those things, we're going to lose in 2024, and then we're going to be right back where we were. So no, I won't be happy we won. We didn't fucking win.
No,
even if Biden wins, which is still up in the air.
Yeah, it's up in the air at best. I was already ready to, like, when things looked, you know, piss poor to start the night, I was already ready to, like, go in on people saying, like, I can't believe we have to do four more years of this, like, as if it would only have been four more. I was already ready. I was stretching my thumbs for those tweets. I was doing some warm-up laps. I was ready to go, but then John King saved the day.
John
and King, no one else,
make him president.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless John King. What a good name too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, where is my... Alright, my fourth is, which is funny, because I semi-praised him. But my fourth is Nate Silver. I feel like he took a real hard L on this one. And deservedly so. He just says so many dumb things, that's the thing. It's like, the numbers are fine. And they, like, are generally fine. You know? Like I think the only state he missed greatly is, like... Well, I think Florida, Texas, and Ohio. Like, the ones that their model got wrong. But then, you know, instead of just, you know, just living with that... He might have deleted the tweet. Oh, no, here it is. he tweeted this three hours ago. My absurdly precise forecast of the final vote is Biden plus 4.3 and 82 million votes for Biden with a turnout of 160 million. But it's like, this is why people hate you.
Absurdly precise.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself, Nate Silver.
Yeah, and like, okay, I'm just gonna dig into his absurdly precise model. Predicted Trump favored in Ohio by 0.6 of a percent. I'm gonna look over here.
What was that 0.6 of a percent? If it was 0.5, if Biden won by 0.5, I'll be okay with it. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, no, it looks like Donald Trump won Ohio by 8%.
Eight fucking percent?
Eight, yeah, that's
it was a landslide?
Yes, it was not even particularly close. Let's look at Florida. Florida, oh no, this is even better. Florida, his absurdly precise forecast. And also, by the way, in their forecast, the stated standard deviation is 3%. which is pretty wide, but they will keep that in mind. You know, that's what they're saying. Florida, Biden favored by 2.5%. Do you know, did Biden win Florida by 2.5%?
I do not think he won Florida.
No, he actually, he lost Florida by 4%.
Oh, is the, I'm not very good at math, Eric. Is that more or less than a 3%?
that is less, because that would be 6. That's actually twice. That's actually twice his standard deviation.
Oh, twice.
Twice, so yeah.
Way off.
Yeah. Even we'll even take a look at Texas, which was a was by his model was a Trump state. Trump favored by 1.5%. You know, that's a pretty close race. 1.5%, so that gives him up to at worst like 4, right?
Yeah.
It looks like Trump won this by 6% actually.
Oh, 6%.
6. Wow.
Oh, wow. Is he? God damn! Those are like the three states. Like Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah,
Nate Silverman. That dude, just can't. He's an attention seeker. Like he just needs the attention.
Yeah, no, he's a piece of shit. It's awful. I mean, even ones that he might get right again, might, heavy emphasis on might, but like. He had Biden favored in Nevada by 6%. That one's, it's been a day and we can't call it yet.
Yeah, it's going to be under a percent.
Pennsylvania, Biden by 5. Again, we don't know. And it's been over a day.
Let me tell you, it's not going to be 5%.
No. And it won't be within his 3 fucking percent standard deviation. Yeah, so yeah, absurdly precise. Absurdly precise. Not just my forecast, my precise forecast. Yeah. Absurdly my forecast, precise.
Sure, people get it wrong, but absurdly precise. You got to be within a fucking percent point if you're gonna say that.
Yeah, no, go fuck yourself, Nate Silver.
Realized this whole episode is a fuck this thing.
It is. This is right in our wheelhouse.
It is. This is where we thrive. Okay, my number 3 is, and I was wrong. This is another Republican tick. There are a bunch of people like outside of like ballot places right now that are chanting "Stop the count," which is just so stupid on so many levels. because you're just saying I don't believe in democracy. But also, a lot of these states, Biden is winning in it. So if you stop the count, you'd lose. You need more votes to win.
I'm glad I didn't write this down. I was thinking about this is kind of like an honorable mention for me, but yeah, when Trump wanted them to stop counting in Michigan and Biden was ahead, it's like,
yeah.
I'm down. Cool.
Yes.
Let's just fast forward on this one. That's fine.
Yeah. We can call it quits in the third quarter, you know? Clippers are up 3-1. Let's call it a series, you know? Like, move on to the Lakers.
That was, because that was, like, my favorite. That was my favorite of those Clippers tweets, of which there were so many for you.
So, but how are we still taking shots? It's been 2 months, and we're still taking shots.
My favorite one was the one that was, like, because Trump tweeted, what did he tweet? He tweeted something to the effect of, like, we were winning in Pennsylvania, but they keep counting votes or something.
Yeah.
And then, there's a great tweet that was like the Clippers are feeling pretty confident about where they're at in the NBA Western Conference semifinals, but the NBA has just informed them that they have to play 3 more games.
Yeah, no, I vividly remember seeing that tweet.
Yeah.
I saw it multiple times on my timeline, thank you very much.
All right. What was that? That was your third?
That was my third.
Okay, mine is this is from a guy. Are you familiar with Bill Kristol? Bill Kristol. He's probably come up on your timeline before. He's a never Trump Republican type. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. Well, I don't want to be like too hard on Never Trump, on some Never Trump Republicans, because it feels like, you know,
I got mixed feelings about it. Yeah, because like I guess you're fighting against Trump, but also you're
like on a certain level you get it. So like, you know, but like also.
But you're still supporting the party that like propped him up, and the Republicans were evil before Trump.
Right, but this, I think this actually this very tweet that is my my third worst take, really encapsulates what we're going for better than we were articulating. This is an article he wrote. He called it, I think the title of the article is "The Day After," but in the tweet like about the article, it says, "The good."
Eric, did you not read the article?
Oh, well, I mean, a little, but not really. The tweet is the real point of the bad take here.
Okay.
So each point, it's like a good, the bad, and the ugly, you know, breakdown of election night. And each one is like they're all bad. So like the good. This was tweeted 10 hours ago, by the way. The good: no second term for Trump. Biden likely to get 270 with Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, and weird Nebraska thing.
That is not aged well.
Yeah, so that's bad. That's a bad one. But, like, as, you know, sure. That's, you know, we're not going to hit on too hard for that, but that's, I know better. We know better.
Yeah.
And then his, the bad, no Republican break from, let alone repudiation of Trump or Trumpism.
Okay, wait, I'm sorry. Can you just say that one more time?
Yeah, so the good is no second term from Trump. The bad, no Republican break from, let alone a repudiation of Trump or Trumpism. Where are we living? What are we doing here?
I'm so angry, I don't know how to respond.
Oh, wait, but there's one more. There's the ugly, right? Because the good, the bad, the ugly. The ugly. Having seen Trump in office, almost half of us voted for a second term. Yeah.
That is pretty ugly. I kind of agree with
him.
No,
he's not wrong. Like, those. Yeah, he's. The good. I think that's the thing with Never Trump Republicans. Like, they're not wrong. Like, the good, the bad, and the ugly, those are all. That's a good thing, you know, if it happens. A bad thing and an ugly thing. But, like, it's just, like, the surprise.
Yeah.
That grates me.
Yeah, it bugs the hell out of me. It's like, yeah, Jesus. Like, he's not wrong. Like, almost want him to be. Just because he can go fuck himself.
Yeah. But, yeah, never.
But, like, yeah, him. I just. Yeah. There's something like, I should have looked up a Lincoln Project tweet, because I'm sure one of those would have made my top six. But they've been like quiet. I don't follow Lincoln Project. They just get retweeted my timeline way too much. But like, they're on the same brand of Never Trumpers. Yeah. But it's like, you all started a goddamn war in Iraq. You're not good people just because you don't support Trump.
Well, I think the thing is, it's like they support, like, I think they. It's like Trump.
They support
like,
what Trump stands for. They just don't support the person because he's a dumbass.
Yeah, it's like they don't. It's like everything up. Trump was like the final form of everything they've believed in to this point, right?
Yes,
that's the thing. And so it's like on a certain point, like, you know, there's like a certain level of respect for like actually. Saying that they were wrong on this guy, you know, like that's bigger than a lot of Republicans, clearly.
Yeah, so, yeah. Like, I mean, they deserve some credit.
So I don't want to like, you know, lambast them, but like, you know, this is
they still believe in like most.
I'm gonna
things
take another drink.
take another drink, and especially like the Lincoln Project people, like they like worked in were upper level Bush people that like laid the ground. Were like part of the reason Trump got elected was because of Bush.
The core of the Never Trump movement, Never Trump Republican movement, are they're basically almost all Bush people. like the Jeb and George like staffers. And...
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what that means, so but that's just a fact. Yeah. Well, okay, we'll move on. I follow one Never Trump Republican person because, and I feel like he's like of the Never Trump Republican people, he's probably one of the more liberal ones.
Yeah.
I think he actually changed his party affiliation so he could vote in the primaries. But he was a Biden guy. But like, you know, they say,
is he like a politician or is he just some dude?
He was a former comms guy for Jeb.
Okay.
And he like, you know, they say you're supposed to follow people from outside your bubble. And he happens to actually be a Nuggets fan, which is why I started following him. And then I realized he was a Jeb comms guy. So it really works out for me. It like hit a Venn diagram. Like I can say I'm a good person for following one person outside my bubble who's also in another one of my bubbles.
I have a similar but more infuriating, less successful story of that. I follow Will Cain because he was a Cowboys fan.
That dude sucks, but I don't remember why.
He sucks so hard. He's just like he's just a classic like Trump, but like but both sides, you know.
Oh yeah.
And he kept his political stuff pretty quiet until he quit ESPN or got fired. I can't remember.
That's
and
then who went he is. To Fox. Yes, someone ripped him. Bomani Jones. He had like a big feud with Bomani Jones, I think.
And then, I think he did.
And then like for April Fool's one year, like they pretended Bomani pretended he like called out sick, so Will Cain like subbed on his show, and then Bomani Jones showed up and like kicked him off right as the show started.
Oh Jesus.
That's
I love
who
that.
Will Cain is. Okay, yes, continue. Yep.
Will Cain fucking sucks, but now he just tweets a bunch of Trump shit, and I follow him, but it's just making me hate Trump people more. It's not making me, like, more of a well-rounded person. It's a hate follow.
Yeah. Yeah. Alright, that was Bill Kristol, who writes for the same site as that one dude I was talking about. And it came on my timeline because he retweeted it, I think. All right, what is your second?
Okay, mine is so Joe Biden this afternoon, early afternoon, tweeted, "To make progress, we have to stop treating our opponents as enemies. We are not enemies."
That's in my honorable mention.
Yeah. Guess what, Biden? Fascists are our enemies. I'm sick of this. We should not work with fascists. I don't believe in that.
If only one side's playing the game, like we'll see what tune he's singing when they reject everything he wants to do because they have the Senate.
Yeah.
For his entire
term. And, I almost think the president saying that type of thing is important and a president should. I just hope he doesn't believe it.
Yeah, and you're right about that. If we've learned anything over this last 4 years, like sometimes you like having a guy say something that's like the nice correct thing to say even though like it makes you mad is like good. There's like a value to that.
Yeah,
sometimes in that respect I guess I agree, but it's he can't possibly believe that.
He can't. If he can, we're screwed. Especially dealing, like, after being vice president to Obama, who the Republicans treated like shit.
Mm-hmm.
But part of me thinks he does truly believe that. And that scares me.
Yeah.
Because we just can't work with fascists, and we just can't work with them. They should be in jail.
Yeah, because of his, like, friendship with McCain and all that. The only thing I think he is well respected on like both sides. He's, you know, it's one of those things where like everyone's friends behind the scenes, and I think he's one of those guys that everyone respected.
Yeah, and probably like old school Republicans, you know, you mentioned McCain, you know, like that breed of Republican, and there are only a few left, but
right.
And yeah, maybe work with the McCains of the world, although they still did some pretty bad things, but. I guess Democrats have too, but like it's just not the fascists. They are our enemies.
I saw a great tweet that was like, because at present moment, Biden is still leading in Arizona, and it looks like he might flip it, possibly. It's also very possible he does not. I cannot say that enough.
We've learned from John King. He's rubbed off on us for this podcast.
Someone tweeted, like, it turns out shitting on John McCain was a poor strategy in Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah, who would have thought?
Yeah. Their most, like, beloved politician. Okay, that was your second?
Yeah, that was my second.
What was it? I don't even remember, like, what the...
Joe Biden's, like, we'll just work with our... Yeah. We're not enemies.
Yeah. I also loved all those, like, well, I guess I'll save this for my honorable mentions. Okay, my second, I'll just bring this down. All right, my second is all the takes about, the Latino vote and the Hispanic vote.
Oh, yeah, those have been pretty bad.
Yeah. It hits a little close to home. That is me. I am a technically Hispanic voter.
Not technically, you are.
Yeah, I mean, I am. So it's been weird seeing people say a lot of things about Hispanic voters. But really, like, it's such a broad term.
It is.
I think that's what this comes down to. It's like, you know, because, like, yeah, like, the Florida, really what people are talking about is, like, the Florida Hispanic population pretty much flipped that or changed that state from what the polls thought, right? That's the general idea at this point in time. But, you know, the Hispanic vote in basically everywhere else, the Hispanic votes, you know, put Biden in a lead in Arizona right now.
It's almost like Cubans and Mexicans are different cultures.
That's it. That's the thing. It's like, yeah. It's like this. Yeah, it's almost like there's a lot of different types of Spanish. Like, I mean, what fucking California?
It's like somebody from like San Francisco. You compare them to somebody from like rural Alabama or Louisiana. Yeah. But even more extreme because it's a different country.
Right. Exactly. So I am going to. I'm going to read some stats here to defend my people. this is the New York Times exit poll data. And again, this is November 4th and is now 8:40 something. okay. So 65% of voters are white. Do you have a guess on what the split was for Trump Biden on the white, for the white vote?
I'll go 60-40 towards Trump.
You're pretty dead on. It's 57-42.
Ah, I didn't know that going in. Like I've known previous polls, solid guess. But not.
Do you want to guess on all of them? That would be weird.
I kind of do. This kind of
okay. Fun. All right, the black vote, which makes up 12% of the electorate.
I'll go 80-20.
You're good. You're plugged in. It's
hell yeah.
It's a little higher. It's 87-12.
Okay.
For pro Biden.
If you can't tell, I spend a lot of time on Twitter.
Yeah. The Asian vote, which makes up 3% of the electorate.
Oh, this is. I'll go 65-35 to Biden.
You are plugged into the zeitgeist.
Did I get it? What is it?
63-31.
Holy shit. Biden, I'm a fucking genius. Yeah, take that, Nate Silver.
Holy shit. I'm saving the Hispanic Latino one for last. Other is the last category, makes up 6% of the electorate.
What is that like? That's probably like Pacific Islanders and Native Americans.
Yeah, I guess
that's got to be like 90-10, right? Unless you're forgetting. a racist.
You're off on this one. Well, you know, this probably encapsulates, like, Italians. No, I'm kidding. my favorite... Have you heard this? There's this thing, apparently, on, like alt-right message boards where they talk about Hitler having a black friend and they're referring to Mussolini because he's Italian.
Oh my fucking god.
That is like the best thing I've heard in so long. It's just incredible amounts of racism. It's just like layered. Like, have you ever seen it's like
that's
a
too good
packed lasagna, just layers and layers of racism that like you can't even imagine.
Oh Jesus Christ. Maybe it's not politically correct, but Italian jokes crack me up. it's just like on both sides of it is like I feel like they're white, but like racists don't think they're white.
Yeah.
Like the most extreme racists. And it's just like, oh Jesus Christ. And also like I feel like some Italians like think they get discriminated against, which they did like previously.
Yeah.
But like at this point, who's discriminating against Italians?
Yeah. Okay, but yeah, so the others of 6%, you said 90-10 for
yeah.
Biden?
Yeah.
Assuming. So this is the first one you were off on. It was 58-40 pro Biden.
I wonder who's in the others.
I don't know. It doesn't really say. Okay, but the Hispanic Latino, 13% of the US voter electorate. Where do you think it landed?
I think I actually did see this one on Twitter, okay. And it's like 73 or something. It's in the 70s, right?
It's a 66-32.
Okay, 66-32.
Basically, my point is, for all the white, if any white person, every white person that comes out and starts blaming Hispanics for Biden's failure to win, even Florida, which like there's, you know, we talked about, there's real reasons why, you know, the Cubans in Florida specifically are not huge fans of communism, and so anything like socialist adjacent, which Biden very much is not.
But he gets called a socialist.
Yeah. So like that makes sense, and like the evangelical, you know, Latino community in Southern Florida. But it digressing. For all the white analysts coming out and attacking Hispanic voters for some of Biden's shortcomings, I would like to point to these statistics where 65% of the electorate being white voted pretty handily for Trump across the board.
Oh yeah, and that's with like Cubans in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so, what it comes down to is just uneducated white voters, like without a college degree.
Yeah.
That's what fucks us.
Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, but I know what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. It's a real bummer. It's like it's just a real
there's going to be a lot of the if Biden loses, there's going to be so many of those takes.
Yeah.
It's going to be overwhelming.
Yeah.
There's already some of them, but it's going to be ridiculous if he loses.
Mhm. All right, let's go. That was my second. We're on to honorable mentions. Do you have many?
I only have one, but I'm cheating because it's a positive take, and it's the take of Mother Nature descending a tropical storm towards Florida right now because they fucking deserve it.
Yeah. What a waste of a state.
What a waste of a state. I can't wait for it to be underwater. They deserve it.
Yeah, I don't have too many. I mentioned the Joe Biden one. Oh, I also there's been a lot of like, it's not, I don't know if it counts as a take, but like, it's mostly something people have been saying on like the news networks, where like when they come back from commercial break and like, oh, the data is just proving once and again that this is truly a nation divided. I just as if that wasn't, you know, like that was a surprise. Like people, it seems like they're like when they say that they're surprised that like the red got redder and the blue got bluer, and that was like the only, that's like been the biggest difference so far. I mean, we'll see what these pending states have to say.
Yeah, but, like, yeah, we fucking know we're divided. Like, people have been talking about a fucking civil war. Like, I'm being on the verge of a civil war.
People were, like, happy there wasn't outright violence on election night. Like, that's where we're at.
Yeah, and surprised.
I had to... Yeah, I told you about... We Googled, we researched how long the Roman Republic lasted to see how we were measuring up. Because yeah. The days felt numbered. Honestly, still feel numbered.
Again, yeah, like 2024, it could be like, if we don't fix a lot of things, we're going to be right back here.
Yeah. By the way, they smoked us. Because we're only at 250.
Yeah, what were they were like 400, right? 500?
Yeah, I'm going to pull up the exact number.
Yeah, fucking Roman. It's actually pretty incredible to think how long they lasted. And don't, like, they didn't have to deal with Facebook. Lucky them. But it's still pretty impressive.
Oh, no. Why isn't it... The last time I Googled this, it gave me a number. This time it gave me years, but the years cross over BC and shit. So, this is a disaster. Hold on, I have to do some math. And this is the Republic part. This isn't the Empire part. The Empire lasts like 1,000 years. But that's, you know... I mean, maybe our dictatorial empire will last 1,000 years. Who knows?
That is a good point. That's like... So, that's like... Oh, yeah. Fuck. Man.
What the fuck?
Okay. So, it's 509 BC and to 27 BC. No, it...
Yeah. So, wait. Yeah. It's 509 so just... minus 27. It's 482. That's right.
Yeah. That's a lot of years.
We have to go 200 plus more years to match that? There's no way.
No way. No chance.
There's no fucking way.
Not if Zuckerberg has anything to say about it.
Isn't because they're the longest one, right? I'm pretty confident of that. They're the longest, like, democratic republic.
Yeah.
Monarchies have lasted longer, but I'm pretty sure that's the longest one.
I don't know what else it'd be. Like, Greece?
That's, like, the only contender. Because you want to say, like, yeah, because you want to say, like, fucking, because there's so many, like, monarchies, and then you want to say, like, even, like, England, theirs is, like, 50 or 60 years or something like that. Like, it's pretty recent that they actually,
yeah.
No, probably, like, maybe 100 at this point. It's, like, around World War I, I think.
It's still nothing, though.
Italy's is really short. It's, like, they were post-World War II, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
All right. Do I have any others? Not really. David Brooks. He's a scam artist. He's a writer for the New York Times opinion page.
Oh yeah, I think I know who this is.
Yeah, I think he spoke at UP while we were there.
Really?
Yeah. I vaguely remember that. I definitely know Clarence Thomas came to UP while we were there.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. It's one of the few things I remember.
This is a good tweet. Revenge of the GOP establishment! ! Controlling the Senate, Republicans are better off if Trump is gone. Their smartest take, count every vote.
Jesus Christ. I saw some people like, oh, okay, God, maybe this is your number one, because it's bad. But like, I've seen people be like, it's a good thing Republicans are going to win the Senate because we don't want one party to have too much power.
I saw that before the election, too.
Yeah, that's the worst fucking take in the world.
That's why...
Republicans having any power is bad.
England's system is not that bad, you know.
Hell no.
Because it's like you have to have a majority in Parliament to even have the Prime Minister. So, and there's that fucking dude who runs every year who says he's from outer space. Yeah. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, so you get good comedic value, too. But and it's like, not tied together with the real politicians like it is here.
I'm going to Google England space politician. And, like, the best part is, like, because, you know, they're all about their, Lord Buck. I googled England space politician and he came up immediately. Lord Buckethead.
That was perfect.
Yeah, there's been many of them, by the way. It's like a character, like
really?
People bring it back, you know, like every election. Like, it's not one guy.
Oh, I love that.
Staple of their, it's now a staple of English democracy.
That's the fun traditions that I'd like us to have.
But my favorite part of the English democratic process is, like, because it's basically it's only like the equivalent of our House of Representatives, right? It's like only district by district, but they're all done the same. So like all the candidates like show up on election night to like this the one event, and then they announce the winner, and like all the other candidates have to stand there. But that meant that the Prime Minister had to stand on stage with Lord Buckethead because they had to run for their district to be Prime Minister, and Lord Buckethead contested them in their district. So there's this incredible photo of, I believe, Theresa May. I'm going to find it. If you believe it's Theresa May on stage accepting her election to her district, or whatever they call it. I'm going to call it district. With Lord Buckethead in the background.
That's so good. I'm imagining there, like, a dude with a bucket on his head as a hat.
Oh yeah, it's good. Everyone just googled Theresa May Lord Buckethead. She's shaking hands with him. No, she's standing behind him. I'm going to send you a picture. But yeah, everyone should google Theresa May Lord Buckethead, and it will not disappoint. I assure you. Anyway, this is how real democracies work, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. If you don't have a Lord Buckethead in your democracy, you're not doing it right.
Oh, and there was a man dressed as Elmo. Oh, and Lord Buckethead is dabbing in this picture. This is fantastic. This is obviously incredible. You guys have
it's lighthearted and like, and they get shit done.
I'm gonna send you, I think this is my favorite one. It's Theresa May standing directly next to Lord Buckethead, and he's just giving a thumbs up. So anyway, this is take notes, ladies and gentlemen. This is a real democracy.
The picture's loading.
Okay, this one's her and...
He does have a bucket on his head.
No, yeah.
Holy shit.
I'm sending you this picture with all the candidates, and you can see... So Theresa May is on the far left in the red, and then Buckethead's in the middle, and Elmo's on the far right.
He looks like a knockoff Darth Vader.
That's precisely what he is. He's in all black, and he has a large cylindrical bucket on his head, but there's a very, very clear hole where he's seeing out of.
Yeah, and it doesn't really make sense with the rest of the... They were just like, okay, I gotta be able to look somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, I don't even know how we got on that, but I'm glad we did.
I'm glad we... This was a highlight, for sure.
All right. What is your number one?
My number one is the man, the myth,
yeah,
the legend.
We have the same one.
Darren Rovell.
Fucking champion of champions.
Yeah, he had one of my favorite tweets of all time. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but it was something like, "This country is tragic, but it makes incredible content."
Yeah, I feel bad for this. I feel bad for the country, but this is incredible content. And that was during one of the debates from the Hillary Trump debates.
Yeah, just an incredible tweet. Today, this morning, he comes up with, "There are enough kids wanting to." Hold on, I'm about to sneeze. Fuck, bad timing. "There are enough kids wanting to dominate draft coverage like Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay. Hope some kids woke up this morning saying, I want to learn every county in America so I can one day do what John King does."
It's just, he's a master. He's a master at bad tweets. No one can touch this man. It's incredible.
He finds the perfect balance of, is this satire or is he really this dumb? And it's a work of art.
He's got to be. Do you remember that weird video he tweeted of himself celebrating when he won a bet?
No, I don't. If you ever come across it, tag me.
I am going to find it and send it to you. He was in a restaurant that was completely empty. So he clearly rented out this restaurant. At least that's what it looked like. He was in this restaurant by himself watching this game, and his bet hit or whatever. Like, he bet the over and then someone scored or something like that. And then he posted the most cringeworthy video of him celebrating. Like, it was like he was celebrating like he thought humans celebrated, because this man is clearly not human. You cannot tweet this good and be a human being. He like jumped into a bunch of cushions off to the side.
I do remember this. Yes,
it was so weird.
It was again, it's like, is he aware of how he is, or is this just genuinely who this person is? This dude, like, he has mastered Twitter. He's almost on Wint's level, but Wint is aware of it.
Yeah, Wint's self-aware. This guy is just, like, his Twitter shouldn't be controversial. Like, I think there's, like, a place for his Twitter. Some people, like, hate the concept of it. I don't. Like, he's just, like, his whole thing is, like, sports business.
Yeah.
Which, like, shouldn't be nefarious. It should just be, like, you know. And that that's become sports betting, because that's become a business, the business side of sports. But he just throws out these bangers where it's just like, you are not from this planet, my sir.
Yeah. Everything about this tweet's perfect. Because what kids want to be Mel Kiper when they grow up?
Yeah.
Over being like an athlete? I don't know any of them. And then, like, in what world are we better off where kids would rather be John King than they would rather be Mel Kiper? I would argue kids being super invested in politics usually turn out bad. That feels like when they become Nazis.
Yeah, it's just, it's great. It's just, it's so great.
How does he even come up with it, though? It's a work of art.
No, that's the thing. Like, I think it has to be genuine, because no one can make this shit up. Like, no one can make up the shitty tweets. It's honestly incredible.
When our society collapses and they have a social media museum, and like there's going to be a Twitter floor, you know, there'll probably be a couple floors for Facebook. Darren Rovell is going to have his own exhibit of tweets.
Yeah. Oh, it's got to be. It's just got to be. I love every year former Deadspin, they started their own website, the Defector. But for some way they get they put together like the worst tweets of the year every year, and somehow some way they get Daniel Radcliffe to do a video reading them for them every year. And every year there's a Rovell one, and every year Radcliffe is like, "Oh, Rovell again?" And then he it's so good.
Look, Daniel Radcliffe seems like the coolest guy.
Yeah, he seems like one of those guys who, like, he blew up because of that, you know, he was Harry fucking Potter, which was a huge deal, and like but he kept it real.
He kept it real. Like, yeah, it didn't go to his head, and now he's just like has all this money and like famousness and just uses it for good.
Mm-hmm. And he does, like, I feel like he does mostly, like, indie stuff.
Yeah, he really does. Have you ever seen What If?
No.
It's a romantic comedy with him and Adam Driver is the best friend. It's incredible. Wow. Highly recommend it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a must-see.
Yeah, I gotta check that out. Have you ever seen Swiss Army Man?
No, I've heard so many things.
Weirdest fucking movie. But it's like also good. But it's very weird. Daniel Radcliffe is great in it. Okay. Well, yeah, so that was obviously my number one as well. There's no other king for this type of for bad takes than Darren Rovell.
Yeah, I wrote this one down as number one before I figured out the rest, and I figured you'd do the same.
Yeah. All right. Well, anything else to add? We don't have much to add on the election. I've been checking it a little during the episode just to make sure that not everything we've said has gone out the window, and so far that has not been the case. Nothing has changed at all.
I was kind of hoping news would break during the recording.
Yeah, me too. But alas, it has not. So, yeah, not much has changed. Okay. Well, that's okay. We're recording another episode soon, so maybe stuff will break during then. Do you have your fuck this thing?
Yeah, I do. New commercials that are not good. because we have so many good commercials in the world, why don't we just bring back commercials from like 5, 10 years ago, 15 years ago? They're classics just sitting there that we could just recycle. We don't need them to keep making new ones.
Do you have any examples? Are you talking about like campaigns in general?
Just like any commercial, you know, like remember that like dog commercial in the Super Bowl with like the dog and horse being best friends? It's like a Bud Light commercial.
Oh yeah.
Why don't we see that anymore? Why don't we see the old Navy commercials and Gap commercials that were actually pretty solid back in the day?
Why don't
we get to see these? The old ESPN commercials. That ESPN has started doing that. They've been bringing back the old commercials.
That's true, they have.
And it's been a hit.
Because those are just fucking classics.
Those are classics. Those are bangers.
They should do those again. Like, they should, you know.
That style, that format, absolutely.
Yeah. That's a good one. My fuck this thing is MSNBC. We talked about it. Holy shit! It made me so mad.
Yeah, it just tanked my lack of optimism that I already didn't have.
They were just like very smug about losing. It felt like, and that was what was so frustrating.
Yeah, how are you smug about losing? And then John King came into our lives.
The Silver Fox.
The Silver Fox.
Alrighty. That will do it for this episode of the Noah and Eric Show. Stay safe, everyone. We'll, by the time this comes out, hopefully we know more. Perhaps we won't.
Perhaps, but yeah.
But
we will see.
With that, fuck new commercials and fuck MSNBC.
Fuck 'em. Fucking all good.